Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Cold Hard Truth podcast. I'm Anish Gupta, and I'm here with Rob from Pro Sports Outlook. Rob, you want to say what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
So, Rob, again, he actually reached out to us, wanted to do an episode with us, and that's awesome. We love having guests. Srigar's been doing a couple of guests for the last few weeks, so I decided to say, hey, let me take this one. So we got Rob here, huge Georgia fan, I know, but we're not going to be talking that much about college. We're going to be talking about a quarterback that we discussed actually on the last episode, Aaron Rodgers, and we all know about the situation. During draft day, he came out and stated that he was angry with the Packers front office, and he basically eventually gave him an ultimatum, either him or the Packers GM. And it basically has just been escalating day by day, honestly. And he's really expressed interest in some teams. And today, me and Rob are going to go over our top five Aaron Rodgers landing spots. So, Rob, if you want to give a little bit of context about what you thought about the Aaron Rodgers situation, if there's any NFL bias you may have towards him, if you want to give your little spill on what you thought of, just honestly, it was kind of shocking to do it on draft day. So why don't you give your little spill?
Well, yeah, first of all, I just want to thank you for having me on. We reached out because Cold Hard Truth, you know, you guys are always spitting facts, and that's what we try to do on Pro Sports Outlook. So seemed like a great fit and really looking forward to talking about Aaron Rodgers today. I know we're going to have you on our show coming up shortly as well. So looking forward to that. And when it comes to Rodgers, I mean, we're talking about the reigning MVP. We're talking about one of, if not the most talented quarterbacks the league has ever seen. The guy can do pretty much anything you want a quarterback can do on the field. So just from that standpoint, you got to remember all the leverage that he's going to have just because of his abilities on the field. Yep. And then when you think about the situation that they've put him in with drafting Jordan Love, and people are trying to compare it to the Brett Favre situation of this is just what the Packers do. They're going to get their guy. They're going to groom him. They're going to make sure that he's in a position to succeed when that guy is ready to move on. But it's really completely different. Like Brett Favre was flirting with retirement, kind of put the Packers in a very difficult position every offseason where, you know, he wasn't going to come back. So they had to find a replacement. Mm-hmm. They had to find someone who was going to be able to step in and be the next guy. And it wasn't like they went out and traded up like they did for Jordan Love.
Yeah, Aaron
Rodgers was the number one player on almost everyone's big board. He fell to them all the way down to like 20-something. So it was like a no-brainer for them. Hey, we got to get this talented guy to Cal. Whereas this Jordan Love situation, they traded up when Rodgers is telling everyone, hey, I want to play for 5 more years. I'm still playing at a high level. Of course, he had some injuries, but like, it's still Aaron Rodgers at the end of the day, and he showed this year what he can do when he's healthy. So that's kind of just my thoughts about the situation overall, and then looking forward to kind of talking about where he could go, because as we were talking about off air, it seems like this is really the first real time where he's legitimately considering moving on from Green Bay. It isn't just, oh, Jordan Love's here. Oh, I wish we drafted a receiver. It's like, no, it's gone beyond where it can go. We need to move on, basically.
100%. Yeah, we literally talked about this, I think, last night. I was just like, this is really the first time I was like, oh, crap, like this actually might happen. And I mean, I kind of gave my perspective on the previous episode, if you guys check that out. But what I said was, I think this all kind of started when Aaron Rodgers tore his or broke his collarbone the second time. And that was in 2017. That was the year Jordy was also out. And
that the Vikings one?
Yeah, that was against when Anthony Barr did it. And what happened was like Rodgers wanted more guaranteed money. They never gave it to him. And then people forget the whole context. It's not really about the personnel. That's what I was trying to tell my co-host. I didn't even tell Rob about this, but what I was trying to say, I wanted to save it for the episode. But like, you know, in 2019, when they hired LaFleur, they basically told the front office told Aaron Rodgers to not be the problem. I mean, so that's basically saying you were the problem. Don't be it anymore. I think that was pretty disrespectful. So I'm a little bit on Aaron Rodgers' side here. I don't think he hasn't clearly ever said that it was all about the personnel ever in any statement he's made this past week. I have never heard him ever say that, oh, the personnel has not been enough. It's always just been the problem with the front office. And I think the whole thing about Jay Kumerow, you know, when even though he was praising him and then they basically, I think, released
him. It's just, yeah, it's another factor that adds up.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's just a personal feud. It's not personnel, it's personal. So I think that's kind of what has been going down. And I think, you know, with the reigning MVP and the Packers really just essentially haven't treated him right. Like, you know, Tom Brady has always had a say in everything with New England, even when he had power struggle with Bill Belichick and the Patriots. I remember he had an ultimatum between him and Jimmy G. The ownership sided with Brady. Russell Wilson is finally getting some power with the Seahawks as well. They're finally going out and getting off offensive lineman that got Gabe Jackson. You know, Russell Wilson is finally expressing his disinterest and his need for power with the organization. They're starting to give it to him. With Aaron Rodgers, it's always been this just he's wanted it and they've never given it to him. And all these contract extensions that they've offered, it's kind of just this pity contract because he wanted this guaranteed money before, didn't really give it to him. And they're like, and he's like, all right, fine. I got to prove it again. And I kind of understood the Jordan Love trade up because, okay, you want him for that extra year. Right. Because that way, even though they were still in the first round, he probably would fell to them anyway. I get picking him in the first round a little bit. That would probably be the only reason why I could see that. But they've only drafted one offensive player in the last 9 years in the first round. And that was the guy. So, you know, I can obviously see Aaron Rodgers, you know, anger towards that. But I mean, this situation's honestly starting to get out of control, because if you come back to the locker room, what are the players going to think like that? I think that's something that definitely, you know, should be taken into consideration. Now, Aaron Rodgers hasn't bashed anyone like Le'Veon Bell did when he held out. So at least there's that. There's nothing there that we have to worry about. But just him in the front office, him and the coaching staff, that's definitely going to be something to consider. So if you're cool with it, Rob, we could jump right into our top fives. If you want me to go first, I can go ahead. And number five, I have the New York Giants. And I think the New York Giants as a landing spot would be really, really interesting because, one, there have been some talks, like Aaron Rodgers did say Giants could be on his list. And then also Dave Gettleman has been asked, does he want to pursue it? He initially said no, but I mean, it's Aaron Rodgers. Like, you can't say no for too long. So I think the Giants definitely have that core, right, of Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard, Kadarius Toney, Kenny Golladay now. Obviously, Saquon Barkley, they picked up his fifth year. The offensive line does have some questions for sure. I mean, they couldn't protect Daniel Jones. And I don't know how it's going to work with Nate Solder, Andrew Thomas. Who's going to play that left tackle? Who's going to be that right tackle? Will Hernandez, is he still going to start? So there's a lot of questions with the offensive line. But that defense is very stellar. I love the secondary, right? I think they've got maybe five, six guys that are just really capable of playing at a high starter level. I mean, there's Xavier McKinney, Jabril Peppers, Logan Ryan, Adoree Jackson, James Bradbury played an all-pro level last year. Obviously the linebackers, Blake Martinez, and then they got Azeez Ojulari. I know you're a Georgia guy, so I'm sure you're happy about that. But again, I love the pieces that they have, and I think Aaron Rodgers to the Giants, that could be really, really interesting. So that's my number five. If you want to give your thoughts, go ahead.
Yeah, man. I mean, you clearly know your shit going off on the secondary. I think it's one of, if not the best secondaries in the league. Obviously, that doesn't really help much for Rodgers at the quarterback position. But when you look at their overall roster, it's one of the most talented teams in the league. If they had a premier quarterback, you trade Daniel Jones for Rodgers, maybe not like straight up, but like in the lineup, you trade Jones for Rodgers. Team's one of the best teams in the league.
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, I think the package would be really interesting. I saw actually a couple online. There was like three firsts and Sterling Shepard. You know, you might have to include Daniel Jones in that package if you really want to get it off, because I don't think they would be able to support Daniel Jones and Aaron Rodgers, because that fifth year will be coming up next year. And then the fifth year is now or ranging between 14 and 23 mil. So that's a lot to put on. And I don't know if they're going to do that with Daniel Jones. So he's a guy that could be part of those trade talks. But I think
a three-way trade in the NFL?
I don't think so. Not in the last, because trades started in the 80s. I haven't heard of one since 2000. I don't know.
Right. I can't think of one either, but that would be interesting, because obviously the Packers won't want Daniel Jones since they already have their young quarterback. But if some team like the Broncos or someone was interested in Daniel Jones, maybe Houston, little three-way trade action. Yep. That would be interesting.
That'd be, because the thing is, another thing with Aaron Rodgers is just like, we don't know the package. We've never seen a reigning MVP want out like this ever. I mean, this was the same when we reacted to Deshaun Watson. What is the package? Because we've never had a 25, 26 year old quarterback in the heart of his prime want out of a team who is perfectly extended and already taken care of. Never before has this ever happened. So when Deshaun Watson had, you know, his whole dispute with the Texans, we were like, what is the trade package? Like, we genuinely don't. Is it, you know, three firsts? Is it four? I mean, Aaron Rodgers, reigning MVP, like, he's guaranteed, you know, success. This isn't one, you know, like Trevor Lawrence who could, you know, somehow bust, or, you know, a Zach Wilson or something. This is a guaranteed prodigy, like a guaranteed, you know, great quarterback. So the package is also really, really weird to put, because if Khalil Mack can go for two firsts, right? I mean, what is, where does it stop? Like, a quarterback is definitely more valuable than a defensive end. So the question of a trade package is also to be considered when making this list. So if you want to give your number five, I think, you know, that's enough Giants talk. I mean, definitely they would win the NFC East. I think we could agree if Aaron Rodgers were to go to New York. I don't know if they would be a Super Bowl team, but I really liked how the Giants played in some big games. I love Joe Judge. I was a big fan of him, you know, a little bit after it started. I was questioning it at first, but then after the first few weeks, I really liked Joe Judge and the culture that he's building. So I think they would win the NFC East and probably make a deep run in the playoffs. I don't know if they would get over the NFC Championship, but I would definitely put them in my top 3 to 4 teams in the NFC.
Yeah, Joe Judge, I think, is a great coach. And you were talking about reigning MVP. We've never seen one be traded in the offseason. One of the things we actually do at Pro Sports Outlook is provide interesting facts every day. And one of the facts I think we just published yesterday was talking about how there's never been a reigning MVP to move teams over that next offseason. So this would be unprecedented territory for that reason, for the reason you stated of a quarterback in their prime being traded. Obviously, the fact that he's 37 years old is going to limit the amount of trade capital that a team is going to be willing to give up for a guy like Aaron Rodgers. So we've seen reports that are saying it's starting at 2 firsts and a 2nd. Like you said, the Khalil Mack trade is probably the most value we've seen in a recent trade. Jay Cutler going back a decade or two, that's something that might be compared to Drew Brees when he was traded to the Saints.
Yep.
But getting into my number five is where a lot of people have Rodgers' premier destination or number two destination, and that's in Las Vegas with the Raiders, with John Gruden. The only reason I have it at number five and not higher up is because it seems like one of the things Rodgers wants is more control of the offense, to be able to call his own plays, do his own thing, call the shots. And it doesn't seem like that's going to happen with John Gruden running the show in Vegas. So he's going to have a great mind or offensive mind in John Gruden, but there might be somewhat of a power struggle as far as calling the offensive plays, making those checks at the line of scrimmage, and executing the offense on a down-to-down snap kind of thing. So not sure how that dynamic would work, but just overall, Vegas makes a lot of sense considering that Derek Carr is kind of on that tweener, on that border of like, is he going to be a franchise quarterback? Is he not? Mm-hmm. Seems like every year it goes back and forth. And Vegas is obviously not in the NFC, so it would be a great, great destination for Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the Raiders, I don't want to spoil my list a little bit, but it's definitely there. So I don't want to go too deep into it. But I would say, you know, to react to what you said, at least, I completely agree. I think, you know, there would be some sort of power struggle on how Rodgers would be able to call his shots. I think, you know, people overrate a little bit of the control that LaFleur had. Like, Rodgers definitely was able to use his cadences pre-snap. He was definitely able to change a lot of plays. I saw it a lot when I was watching Packers games. I think with the Raiders, it would be a little bit of the same, but I think you're right. Gruden would definitely call the plays, and I think he'd have less of that power than he may think. And also, Vegas as a fit, obviously that defense is, I would say it's worse than the Packers, and their offensive line is rebuilding. Like, they literally just tore it apart in one offseason.
Yeah, the O-line's completely new.
I am so against that. I'm so against either tearing it apart in 1 year or rebuilding it in 1 year, because it just doesn't work. Like, you need time. You can't put 4 new starters on an offensive line and expect it to click right away. It won't work. The Jets tried it last year. I told my co-host that it wouldn't work. It didn't. So I think it's really hard.
How the Chiefs do then, because they're doing the same.
That's why I'm a little bit skeptical on how, but they do have the best quarterback in the NFL, so it makes up for it a little bit. But it
does help a little bit when he's running out of the pocket.
Exactly. But I think the Raiders would be a very interesting fit. I don't want to go too much into it, so if you're cool with it, we can move on to number 4.
Yeah, get on to number 4, man.
Yep. So for number 4, this one is another AFC team. I got the Miami Dolphins, and this one I feel like people would have a little bit higher on their list. I put it at 4 just because I think they want to see what Tua can do, and I think that's like the main reason why it's not higher. And I think, you know, them taking Jalen Waddle at 6 really cemented the fact that, okay, we want to surround Tua with as many weapons as possible. And I think, you know, with the Dolphins, one, the future is very, very bright. Like, I love Brian Flores, and that also, defensive-minded coaches always give quarterbacks more power. It's just always how it's been. So Rodgers wouldn't have that issue down there in South Beach. And the weapons are pretty good. I like DeVante Parker. That is a guy that could really elevate his game with a guy like Aaron Rodgers. I would be stoked. I've loved DeVante Parker's game ever since he came out of college. And I think he's never really gotten that full-blown chance. He finally got it in 2019. Let's see what he can do this year. But I love Will Fuller. Also, you know, Rodgers wanted Will Fuller, didn't happen, so he would finally get him. And then again, Jalen Waddle could play slot, could play outside. That gives you a lot of leverage with Fuller and Waddle. That defense is absolutely stellar. I love it, led by Xavier Howard. I love Jerome Baker. I think this team would be very, very solid. They also got Jalen Phillips in the first round this year. I think Miami's already been on the upward trend. I had them, I don't think I told you this, but I had them as one of my, you know, teams that would take a big jump last year. That was one of my quote unquote best takes. Cause I think it was just the culture change that Flores brought and how they finished 2019. So I think they're only going to go upward, and that loss to Buffalo definitely was, you know, it was a stinger. That's something that they're definitely putting on their calendars, or they're definitely putting on their wall in the locker room and saying, hey, we're not going to lose by 30 points in a, you know, must win game for the postseason. That's not going to happen again. And I think it was a good learning curve, and Aaron Rodgers with his experience could take this team a lot farther than people think. So that would be my thing for the Dolphins. Again, Tua would be the only thing, you know, a little bit of a question. I think he would definitely be in that trade package because he showed some flashes in his rookie year. I don't know your take on Tua. I still believe he can be a good quarterback. We just haven't seen enough. He's 6-3 as a starter. He definitely had his bad games, but he also had his moments against Arizona. I really liked how he played against Kyler Murray. But yeah, that's probably my take on the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I'm a big Tua believer. I think Tua is destined to be a superstar. Just the fact that first time we've seen him on the national stage was coming in at halftime, beating Georgia. As a Georgia fan, that crushed me at the time. But just we witnessed greatness that day. And ever since then, he's been a top-tier player. Obviously, he had the hip surgery. People are very quick to, you know, jump to reactions. They saw, a somewhat disappointing rookie season. But the guy was coming off of what used to be a career-ending hip surgery. So you got to give him time. He had to learn the playbook. He wasn't even penciled in as a starter to start the year. It was a shortened offseason. This is a completely different deal this year. He's going to have a whole season to learn the playbook. He's got much better weapons. They improved the hell out of their receiving corps with Will Fuller, with Jalen Waddle. And that Waddle draft pick, they could have gone a lot of different directions. They could have got the tackle. They could have gotten a lot of different players. They went with Waddle, which I think shows their belief in Tua, which is why I don't have the Dolphins on my list. I think they're all in on Tua. But if they do get Rodgers, that team would be filthy with the Flores-Rodgers combo.
Would you put him over Casey if they got Aaron Rodgers?
I wouldn't, because of the lack of continuity, the questions on the offensive line.
I agree.
And just the time it would take to become a contender. But if you give them a year or two and they add some more pieces specifically on that O-line, could definitely see them up there being in that AFC championship picture.
Gotcha. Yep, I agree with that. I think I wouldn't put him over Casey, but could they make a run? Hey, you never know. I think they would definitely be in my Super Bowl bubble, to say.
For sure. Title contender, no doubt. And so I guess that goes on to my number four. And this was a team that was looking for a quarterback all offseason, and that's in Carolina. Apparently they found one in Sam Darnold, but we really don't know what Sam Darnold is going to do. And it just wouldn't surprise anyone if the Panthers drafted a quarterback at number eight. And it shouldn't surprise anyone if they go and get a proven commodity like we talked about in Aaron Rodgers. This is a team that had that 1 year with Matt Rhule, with the whole new front office. They were kind of rebuilding, so to speak, but they impressed. They were almost in every single game they played. It wasn't like they were getting blown out.
Yeah.
And they finished with a decent record, with considering the talent that they had. And they've made a lot of offseason pickups. They get McCaffrey back. They added Reddick. They added Perryman. They added AJ Boye and all these guys. So you add in Aaron Rodgers with Matt Rhule, it'll be an interesting dynamic. And Carolina is just a team that doesn't seem like they have a solidified quarterback. They even said themselves in the press conference, whether it was for Darnold or whether it was soon after, not with Darnold on the same press conference, they were like, yeah, don't rule out it. We haven't ruled out a quarterback. This doesn't rule us out of a quarterback at all. We could still go that in that direction. So it just makes sense as why they would want Rodgers, and they could even keep Darnold as kind of like a backup development kind of guy if he was willing to obviously play on a lesser expensive contract.
I love that reasoning for the Panthers. I thought that was really well said, because I think for Carolina, they're one of my sleeper teams coming into this year, because I love what Matt Rhule is building over there. I think David Tepper finally did something right in Matt Rhule. But I think the Panthers are doing
All out for him too.
Yes. Yeah. They went out for him. Like, when we reacted to it, I mean, there was a lot of money that they gave him, but I think they're building something special. Like you mentioned, all the pickups that they have, and Sam Darnold, again, I was never the biggest fan of Sam Darnold. I don't know how a guy with 22 turnovers his senior year is called the most pro ready quarterback. I still don't get that, but you know, that 2018 analysis, but Sam Darnold, you know, he hasn't really done anything relevant in the NFL yet. He just hasn't had the chance. Right. And I think, you know, in Carolina, at least they're showing some faith in him by picking up his fifth year, and they're definitely building around with him, you know, to an extent. I believe they got Terrence Marshall in the second round. So they've got, you know, DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, and T Marsh. So now you can put Anderson in the slot because he's not as big. So there's not a lot of combination. And then if you add Aaron Rodgers to that mix, to that offense, that would be absolutely lethal. I
mean, you have Rodgers, McCaffrey, that might be the best backfield of all time.
Oh yeah. That's like scary good, because I still think Chris McCaffrey is the best running back in football. So I think that's scary good.
Derrick Henry might have something to say about that, but he's definitely up there.
Sorry, who'd you say?
Derrick Henry might have something to say about
Derrick, that. I'm a fan of both. Like I said Derrick Henry would break out after, you know, I don't know if you remember when he had that 99-yard touchdown against Jacksonville, and he finished that year with, it was like in 2018.
Incredible run, yeah.
Yeah. No, and then I was like, you know what? This guy's going to be an absolute beast. But I love both. I love both. But I think Christian McCaffrey, just as a passer too, like as a pass catcher, is just like, dude, I mean, he is – like,
all around versatility.
Exactly. Like I have never seen anything like that from, you know, at least in my time. I mean, like I've heard of, you know, Marshall Faulk and all the guys that have done it before, but Christian McCaffrey, at least in my time, what I've seen, just he's a special cat. But I think the Panthers would be really, really interesting. I already have them as a team that would really improve next year. And like you said, I believe they had 9 of their 11 losses were one score. So like they were very, very in every game. And especially the Chiefs game. I don't know if you watched that one. That was the one that stood out to me.
With Teddy Bridgewater, like diving for the first
down. Yeah, on the fourth and 14, that game really stood out to me. So I think the Panthers would be really lethal with Aaron Rodgers. So I love the fit. I think that's a great number 4. And I think we can move on to number 3 if you're cool with it. So my number 3 is going to be the Washington football team. Now, this is definitely one of those teams that needs a guy, because obviously Alex Smith retired and he was doing well. I mean, he went 5-1 as a starter, but obviously he's not there anymore. And they made the playoffs. We all know how they did it, you know, riding kind of that front 7 with Chase Young, who honestly came around that end of the year. He's only going to get better. And, you know, they've got Daron Payne, Jonathan Allen, Holcomb, all these guys on that front 7. They're loaded there, but you know, on offense, I mean, we saw one game of Taylor Heinicke, who actually put up the best fight against Tom Brady in his run, which was pretty funny. But they're in desperate need of that, you know, franchise signal caller. And, you know, they haven't really had that. Like Kirk Cousins wasn't really that guy. RG3 could have been, wasn't. They haven't had that since maybe Doug Williams. So I think, you know, the whole question of them is, who's going to be that guy? And I think if they trade for Aaron Rodgers back half of his prime, 37, he can give you 3 years. And Washington with that young front 7, I love their secondary led by, I think, Kendall Fuller. He's going to have a bounce back year. And I think that offensive line definitely needs some work, but they did address it a little bit in the draft. And I think Terry McLaurin with Aaron Rodgers would be really special. This would be, you know, the best quarterback he's had in his professional career. So I think Washington would definitely one rule over the NFC East. I know it's another NFC East team that I'm mentioning, but obviously whichever NFC East team gets Aaron Rodgers would win it. And I love Ron Rivera, again, defensive minded head coach. So Rodgers would have the power. And I think it's, you know, a great culture that he would be going into.
Yeah, I think two great minds think alike. My number 3 is also Washington. Yep. Obviously, Ron Rivera is probably someone Rodgers respects. It would be a defensive-minded coach, so it would kind of be Rodgers runs the offense, Rivera runs the defense. And you were mentioning the secondary. Kendall Fuller is obviously a beast. They paid Landon Collins all that money to be the enforcer in the secondary. And don't sleep on Jimmy Moreland, that slot corner. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a really good player coming up. And then just on the offensive side of the ball, they added Curtis Samuel. They added Adam Humphries. And then Terry McLaurin just seems like that guy that's really good, kind of on the borderline Pro Bowl. You add Aaron Rodgers in there, boom, that's an all-pro player right there. First 100%. Year, yep. Going to put up 1,400, 12 touchdown kind of season. And then it just makes all of their other problems kind of be minimized. And you mentioned their offensive line. I actually think they have one of the best offensive lines that we've gone over so far. I mean, they brought back Brandon Scherff. They have a high-quality center. I think they drafted Morgan Moses pretty high not too long ago, and he's a quality player. And they just drafted Sam Cosmi as well in the second round. So they should have a solid O-line in front of Rodgers to be able to protect him, keep him healthy, quality weapons to distribute the ball.
Logan Thomas, the 6'6 guy, tall tight end who
– Right, and we saw what Rodgers did with Robert Tonyan. No one even heard of that guy a year ago.
Exactly.
Boom, he should have been the Pro Bowl tight end.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, who knows what he can do with Logan Thomas, who's really very raw at the position, obviously a quarterback in college and now really learning the nuances of the tight end position. But that's our number three, Washington.
That's perfect. See, great minds think alike. I totally agree. For number two, Rob kind of already spoiled it a little bit, but I'm going to continue off where he said, but the Raiders, why I had them at number two was, I think, again, just them being in the AFC and them, like you said, the whole Derek Carr narrative, I think, is very strong. Because, again, like you said, every year it's just been back and forth with the Raiders fans. I've heard it both sides. You know, it's a two-sided coin. Like, half of them say, oh, he's our guy, and half of them are saying, you know, he just can't win us, you know, anything. And, like, here's the thing. Derek Carr, I think, is very talented. You can throw him in your top 15. I think he's average, like, you know, solid. I think solid is the perfect word to put him behind. And the thing is, you know, he is actually the second losingest quarterback in NFL history behind his own brother, which is pretty funny. But, I mean, he's just not, in my opinion, he's just not going to lift you up over the top. There are those quarterbacks that I just don't think will lift you up. Like, you know, Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan, Derek Carr. I think those three they can't lift you up to where you want your team to go. And that's why the Raiders have just been stuck in the 7-9, you know, mediocrity, you know, hot starts. And then they just finish it off because, you know, in bigger games, Derek Carr just tends to kind of get outplayed. But with Aaron Rodgers, I don't think that would be the case. I think if he comes to, you know, LV, the fans would really ride behind his back. They would really embrace him. And, you know, in an AFC West that's already loaded with Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes, I think Aaron Rodgers would add a lot of fuel to that fire. And I think in the Raiders system, he can definitely make a guy like Henry Ruggs really, really good. I think Henry Ruggs is a more talented MVS. I think that's, you know, interesting way to say it, because I don't like comparing anyone to Tyreek Hill, because Tyreek Hill is Tyreek Hill. But I think Henry Ruggs is very fast. He's quick. You know, obviously we saw his 40-yard dash. So I think Aaron Rodgers could definitely turn a guy like him around. There's still some, I mean, and Darren Waller, I didn't even mention him, but like, imagine, like, he's been doing this with Derek Carr, who's, you know, not bad, but Aaron Rodgers would make this dude, oh, he'd make him so special. Like, Darren Waller's already great, but I think he could throw himself in that Travis Kelce, George Kittle tier with Aaron Rodgers. And I think the Raiders defense, they've been trying. I mean, they've been adding pieces, but, you know, let's see how it works. But that's why, you know, I had to put him at two, because though the fit, you know, of that whole franchise quarterback needy franchise is there, just isn't better than number one on my list. But I think the Raiders would definitely do something with Aaron Rodgers, and it would make that AFC West a lot more interesting.
Yeah, and I didn't even touch on this earlier, but it just seems like a move that Mike Mayock would be willing to do. Yeah. Like, let's make this splash. John Gruden made the splash early in his tenure the year before Mayock got there, I believe, with the Khalil Mack trade. And then this would be their big trade, like, oh, we got Aaron Rodgers. Make headlines in Vegas. Let's get this thing going. Really the first year where they're host. I don't even think they hosted a single game with fans last year.
Yeah, it was zero fans.
So this would be their first year, like, selling tickets, trying to have people come to the stadium. What better way to come to the stadium than the reigning MVP?
Box office. Vegas. Yep, agreed.
But sticking in the AFC West, I'm going with my number two. And that's the team everyone's saying is number one. And it makes sense why they're saying it, because when you look at the Denver Broncos draft, you would have thought they would have taken Justin Fields. You would have thought they would have taken Mac Jones, some quarterback with their pick, because Drew Lock doesn't seem to be the answer. The fact that they passed on that opportunity just makes it seem like, okay, maybe they've had conversations in the background, like, we are going to get Aaron Rodgers. And then when you look at the roster, the defense is absolutely loaded. They have one of the best secondaries alongside the Giants. I mean, they have two stud safeties in Justin Simmons and Kareem Jackson. Bryce Callahan might be the best slot corner in the NFL. Yep. They added Kyle Fuller. They added Ronald Darby. So that's a stout.
Like, what? I mean,
that's what I'm saying. And Sertan with that first round pick. So, I mean, the secondary is loaded. They have one of, if not the best linebacker duo in A.J. Johnson and Josie Jewell. They got Von Miller coming back off injury with Bradley Chubb. So, I mean, the defense is ferocious. It's going to be a problem no matter who's at quarterback. But when you exchange Drew Lock and replace him with Aaron Rodgers, what that can do for the offense and what that can do for the overall team, it would just be a very special, almost impossible to defend type of team, because you have a team that's going to create turnovers on the defensive side, put Rodgers in that offense in a position to score much more easily. And then you have to deal with Rodgers, one of the best route runners in the NFL already, and Jerry Jeudy. Cortland Sutton obviously coming back off the injury, but then you have KJ Hamler, who is just a mismatch walking on the field. And then Noah Fant obviously could potentially be an elite tight end as well. And I think the biggest thing with them is just the fact that, I guess as a fan, I guess as a football fan, that when you have Aaron Rodgers in that division with Patrick Mahomes, with Justin Herbert, that's four games that are just going to be must-watch television with quarterbacks going at it. You want high-scoring affairs, and it just seems like you had the Peyton Manning model already set the example of a quarterback who's established himself as an MVP, goes to Denver. John Elway, obviously, you know, forced his way to Denver early on in his career. And so it's definitely a place where, you know, those Hall of Fame quarterbacks have been able to flourish and win Super Bowls.
Literally took most of the words right out of my mouth, because my number one team to maybe smoothly transition over is kind of mainstream. It is the Denver Broncos. Aaron Rodgers just recently came out and said Denver is his preferred destination. And I'm sure George Patton, their GM, has made some calls. But you took most of the words out of my mouth. I mean, Denver is just – Denver's honestly the most perfect fit, in my opinion, out of all the teams. I know you got a different one in mind, but – like you said, I mean, Cortland Sutton coming out of the ACL, he was, you know, honestly, he had a top 10 season in 2019. And I think you're right. Drew Lock, same thing. He's just not going to elevate a team, even with his ceiling. I was a Drew Lock believer, even in his rookie year when he went 4-1 in those five games. But just, you know, sophomore year, I just didn't see much. He didn't obviously have some weapons, but, you know, Aaron Rodgers will get a boatload of that. Like you said, Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler, Tim Patrick, a tall guy that didn't drop the ball at all last year. So that's another guy that I really like too. Noah Fant, like you said, first round talent. That offensive line, there would be some questions though. Juwan James obviously just tore his Achilles. That was the one guy that I was, you know, expecting to come back, you know, after opting out, but now a little bit of questions with that right tackle spot. But Garrett Bowles, I think, is a guy that you can rely on at left tackle. Like you said, their defense on all three phases is absolutely loaded. Like, I mean, that secondary, I mean, you've got so many pieces. And I think in Denver, just like you said, right, the Peyton Manning model, I was going to bring that up because, you know, Peyton Manning had a similar type of thing. It wasn't that he was, like, heartbroken by the Colts, but obviously the Colts, you know, said, hey, we're kind of done with you after the neck. We're going to go with Andrew Luck, and then, you know, kind of push Manning to the curb. And he said, all right, I'm going to leave. Chooses Denver and wins the Super Bowl there. So, I mean, this is a team that, you know, isn't shy and that far off of a Super Bowl win. And they've still got some players from that Super Bowl 50 team. And Vic Fangio will always put out a top 10 defense. That's what I've heard, you know, throughout the NFL community that I've, you know, interacted with. And I agree, like, Vic Fangio is always going to throw out a top 10 defense. So you've always kind of got that riding with you if you're a Denver quarterback. Now it's just obviously the offense to put the pieces together. And, you know, the running back situation, I believe they got Javonte Williams. They traded up for him. You know, Lindsey's gone, but I think Gordon and Williams would be really, really interesting. I think Denver is just, you know, hands down, in my opinion, that just the best fit. And I think, you know, even Aaron Rodgers sees it because he's expressed interest in them. And I think the package would also be very easy for Denver to do. I think, you know, three first and maybe throw in a couple, you know, one of those receivers that we mentioned, maybe a defensive piece. It would be so easy to kind of get rid of now. And, you know, all those secondary guys, I mean, I would kind of be willing to part with, you know, one of those corners if I can get Aaron Rodgers. So I think the package also is very favorable for Denver. And just like you said, those four games would be very, very interesting for all three of those teams, because everyone's having the Chargers as kind of that up and coming team. Everyone has that Justin Herbert as an MVP sleeper. Patrick Mahomes, now he's got to face Herbert twice, and both games went down. Well, the one game he played against Herbert went down to the wire. And then obviously Denver always plays Kansas City kind of tough. But with Aaron Rodgers, it's going to be, you know, two games that we're all going to want to see. So yeah, I think that's kind of my rundown. I would put Denver at number one, but you also gave reasons for why you had it at number two. So I think we both agree that Denver is a very optimal position for him to go.
Yeah, I think Denver would be a great fit. As a football fan, that's probably where I'd want to see him go, just because those two games against Mahomes, two games against Herbert will just be very exciting to see, especially with divisions on the line, maybe later in the season. Yep. But the reason I don't have them at number one, and this is kind of a dark horse, but like, it just makes a lot of sense for me, and that's in New Orleans. Cause as great as Jerry Jeudy is, he's no Michael Thomas. Okay. Mm-hmm. As great as Melvin Gordon is, he's no Alvin Kamara. And as great as Vic Fangio is, he's no Sean Payton. So Saints have upgrades in all three major facets that are going to actually surround Aaron Rodgers on the football field. Like, obviously the defense is going to be a little better in Denver But the Saints also are coming off a top five defensive season, and they really only got rid of Janoris Jenkins. So they found a way to get all these people back. I think the reason why people aren't projecting them to be the number one destination or a top tier guy is obviously the cap situation that's going on in New Orleans. But we've seen them figure out a way to manipulate the cap time and time again. They've pretty much been doing it for 3-4 years now. And just it just seems like a move of like a Sean Payton genius move of like, oh, we had Drew Brees, the leading greatest passer of all time in passing yards, but let's just add Aaron Rodgers the year he retires, like, and have absolutely no drop off and actually an upgrade at the position. So, I mean, if you look at it, Saints might have the most elite players, if we're talking about like Pro Bowl caliber players in the league, just from in pretty much all facets, running back, receiver, three offensive linemen, Cam Jordan, DeMario Davis, Marcus Williams, you know, all the guys on the defensive side of the ball. And then when you just add Aaron Rodgers, an elite player, what they thought Drew Brees was going to be in this last year. I mean, it's kind of hard to say Drew Brees didn't hold them back in this past year. Obviously, you know, losing to the Bucs in that playoff game, Jared Cook, you know, is a big factor in that loss as well. He's not there anymore. Yep. But when you add Aaron Rodgers to that team, it just is going to make the Saints, I think it would be the one team on this list where I think if they added Aaron Rodgers, they would be the team to beat over Kansas City, over Tampa Bay.
Interesting.
It would be the Saints.
That's a very interesting, that would really push me to say, okay, who is up there? But knowing me, I would still, my Tom Brady bias would probably put me to say the Bucks. But you're right. I mean, the Saints in terms of skill position and just overall roster, they definitely have the best one on this list, I think, from top to bottom. And obviously I know, you know, I believe that Jameis Winston could take this team to the playoffs, but you're right. He's not going to take them, you know, that far in the playoffs with, you know, his struggles. We don't know how he is with that whole LASIK eye surgery. So, you know, we saw him throw that one touchdown pass. I think it was against the Bears, but other than that, we really didn't see him. And I think it's going to be very interesting to see what they do with, you know, Taysom Hill. You know, are they going to, you know, those voidable years, is he going to really be under contract all 4 years? Aaron Rodgers coming to New Orleans. Oh my gosh. Like that, the city would obviously, again, it would also embrace him. That would be a team that just, honestly, Aaron Rodgers would have the same weapons, if not better, in New Orleans. I think they would be better overall from top to bottom compared to Green Bay. And also another thing is they're playing in a dome. So weather-wise, like, it would be so much better, because if he can get a home playoff game stretch, I think, you know, weather would be a lot better for them too. And that would affect, you know, wouldn't affect his deep ball throwing, deep ball accuracy. Obviously, he's been able to throw in the cold, but like this would be something special to be able to throw for New Orleans. So that would be my number one, or that's your number one, but that would be, you know, in my top five. I think that's a team that I didn't really think about, but like I could definitely consider. So,
yeah. And you just touched on two important things that I think the reader or the listener should definitely, you know, make sure they understand. The quarterback situation that's in New Orleans right now, Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill, it's two guys that are promising. You know, Sean Payton has had Taysom Hill for a while, but in reality, what's the most likely scenario is he's probably going to be a gadget player. It's his most valuable overall long-term outlook. It's unlikely that he's going to be a winning starting quarterback in this league for years that like he wants to be. I'm sure he'll have a chance to prove it, whether it be this year or on another team or whatever. But him, Jameis Winston, who literally set a record with 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions, like, neither of those guys are guys to the point where the coaching staff, the front office, is going to say, oh, Aaron Rodgers is available. We shouldn't go after him because of these guys, because Aaron Rodgers it's Aaron fucking Rodgers. Like, let's bring in Aaron Rodgers and he's going to revolutionize our team, bring it to the top, be what pretty much a prime Drew Brees is with the best surrounding supporting cast that would have been around Brees, and it would be around Rodgers. And then you touched on the Brady situation as well. We are talking about Rodgers versus Mahomes, which would be electric. Even more electric than that would be an NFC Championship rematch, but with Rodgers in New Orleans, yep, and Tampa Bay division rivals. What I'm saying. Like, the Saints-Bucks games were, you know, two of the most enticing matchups. Obviously, yep, it didn't play out on the field, especially in that second game where they got blown out. But from an entertainment standpoint, like that, I remember that hype all week of the Sunday Night Football game. Yep. Was just, you know, Brees Brady. It would be the same thing, but even better, because Rodgers is still in his prime. It's not, you know, an over the hill, you know, Drew Brees playing. And, you know, I take my losses as much as I take my wins. I picked the Saints to win the Super Bowl last year. I was wrong. I did pick the only team to blow out the eventual Super Bowl champion. But if they do have Aaron Rodgers this year, I hate picking the same team twice, especially if they burn me. But like, it would just be hard to pick against the Saints if they do add Aaron Rodgers to the mix.
I think, yeah, it would be so much different with Breeze and Rodgers. I think with Breeze, just the whole playoff loss, it was just so hard to overcome. And I think with, you know, Aaron Rodgers would be definitely different. You know, it would be a new team where he can finally kind of erase this whole NFC championship, you know, saga that's been thrown out, you know, the whole 1-4 thing. Right. But the Saints would be very, like you kind of hyped it up. I think, you know, it's kind of grown on me a little bit too. It'd be definitely interesting to see how they would manage the cap situation with three quarterbacks, right? Like, you know, that are all.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest obstacle.
Yeah, I think. But aside from that, like you mentioned, I mean, all phases, it's just a great team. And, you know, I mean, could you imagine like a home playoff game in the dome with Aaron Rodgers? That would be something special for the city of New Orleans. I think that would be really crazy. And I mean, Rodgers, Brady at the dome with Rodgers instead of Breeze, that would be so much harder to pick than, because I picked the Bucks over the Packers in the NFC Championship because I just thought, you know, I just can't pick against Brady in the playoffs, but that would probably be the toughest game for me to pick against Brady. I haven't picked against Brady ever in the playoffs ever since the 2016 season. So I've never picked against him, but that would be probably the first time I'd really consider it. So, but to kind of wrap it up, at least for our channel, Rob, thank you so much for hopping on. I think this was, you know, we got great perspective on just where Aaron Rodgers could go. Hopefully the viewers loved it as well. I mean, just, this is a guy that, you know, when we were thrown out with Deshaun Watson wanting to leave, now we're getting another guy that, you know, of his caliber. Like, these are two top five quarterbacks that have expressed, you know, disinterest in their teams and at least wanting out. So they've thrown out the speculation to us NFL fans, given us some off-season quote unquote juice, because, you know, obviously when the NFL season's over, a lot of us fans are just anxious for the, you know, for the season. So this has definitely been a great off season so far. And I think Aaron Rodgers just added a lot of fuel to the fire. If I were to ask you right now, like, you know, gun held to your head, do you think Rodgers gets traded this off season?
I think he does. To me, you can't have Deshaun Watson rumors, Russell Wilson rumors, and Aaron Rodgers rumors all in the same offseason and none of them get moved. Like, something has to give, or just in the future, it's just going to be another situation where people are going to be like, oh, it's probably clickbait. It's probably just reports and rumors. And like, am I actually going to think this is going to be wrong? Like, someone's got to move. And it does seem like Rodgers is the most realistic target just because of all the things going on with Watson and then Wilson deciding to stay with Seattle.
Yeah. I think this is the first time I'm really going to say, okay, you know what? I think Aaron Rodgers really won't be a Packer fall of 2021. So only time will tell. But again, thank you so much for Rob joining Pro Sports Outlook PSO. Please go check it out. I will leave all their links in the description, both in the Spotify description, podcast description, wherever you're watching this from, or in YouTube. Their links will be all down below. But thank you guys so much for watching. I really appreciate you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys again. We will see you next time.